All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome back to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? I'm Penn.
Hey, Penn. How you doing this week?
Well, this is the episode.
This is the one. The one.
This is the one where we find out who, if I have to choose between David Moulton or my own daughter, Kayla. So this is what we're going to call this, a high drama episode. We're just going to tease that.
We're going to find
out who comes first.
Who comes first and who can cry the biggest tears.
I also just want to point out, the last thing I heard you say before we started the podcast was, I hope I'm not too hot. Hey, ladies.
Hey, girl. Yeah. It's just an issue. Maybe you don't know how that is.
I don't. I can't relate at all. I've never had that problem a day in my life.
Well, okay. I think we need to start off with the biggest hard-pressing issue that we left everyone hanging.
Yes.
What is what the ultimate wager has been put out there?
Yes.
And and maybe some people are scared. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe some people are anti-Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, we may never know. I'm going to have to sit outside with a table. Avengers will make more money than Star Wars. Try to convince me otherwise.
I'm going
to
pull Avengers from all my theaters to reduce the gross to win the bet.
He's getting petty. So if you win.
Yes.
Highly unlikely,
right.
But if you win,
yes.
What movie will we be watching and dressing up for charity for?
Okay, I'm gonna see if you can name the quote.
Okay.
It really tied the room together.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? No.
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, the...
The rug that gets stolen, and he goes, yeah, but it really tied the room together.
I was thinking of the Christmas tree in the neighbor's house.
Oh, yeah.
You said that. That... Dude, I've got to go as John Goodman.
Obviously.
You're
going to
do the dude, of course?
Yes.
Oh, man.
You could also choose. I'm going to let you choose. You have a few choices.
Okay.
You could go as John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
You could go as Sam Elliott, the cowboy, the narrator.
Oh, yeah,
the narrator.
That's true, too.
Wouldn't mind seeing you in a cowboy hat, right?
Who wouldn't?
Or.
I had the issue. I just talked about being too hot a second
too
ago.
Too hot, yeah. Or the other option, mm-hmm. If you find the right purple bodysuit.
Jesus?
You could go as Jesus. And in which case, you would have to carry around a bowling ball all night so that you could polish your balls.
I don't even know which one would be best. I mean, obviously, Jesus would be the most hilarious. Okay. All right. The Big Lebowski. I love it. Are we going to have... non-alcoholic white Russians.
Maybe we'll have alcoholic white Russians.
Whoa!
What?
Say what now?
Yeah, we'll coordinate it with Mix.
Oh, I like that
idea.
There
you go. We'll coordinate it with Mix, and we'll get him to kick in a little bit and help us out to, support. Because it's all for charity.
Right.
We're all doing, raising money for charity and stuff. And so we'll see Mix, an awfully good guy.
Yeah.
If you don't know Mick. And so we'll do white Russians over at Mick's place, and then we'll head over.
I love it. Well, I almost want you to win now.
It's funny you say that because we're sitting here. This is the big news today. But I was also thinking, like, I kind of want you to win because Spaceballs would be fun.
Oh, man. So, okay. So it won't be torture for either of us, basically.
There you go.
Are you ready for news?
Thank God. Because I saw on the show notes that there's some Dune news.
There's Dune news.
And we 2 weeks in a row, I think we went without Dune news.
Yeah, it was
tough.
It was tough. And now there's two tidbits of Dune news.
I can't stand it.
First, Chang Chen.
Whoa.
He joined the cast and said,
That's a made-up name. That's a totally made-up name.
It could be backwards. It totally could be Chen Chang. You know, like Zhang Zi or whatever her name is. He's on board to play Dr. Yui in the new Dune movie. Now, if you know Dune, which I know you don't.
Right.
This is a really important character. A pivotal.
Pivotal.
Character. So I think it's great.
I feel like I should read the book. Do I need to read the book?
I mean,
as a good friend and co-host, I need to. I do, right? I do.
Yeah. Well, you've got time because it doesn't come out till 2020. So.
All right. You this summer, I'm reading the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just read the first one.
Just the first one.
The original. All right. You can read that book alone and not go any further, okay. But you may want to.
Is that it? Is that all the news you have?
No.
What?
No. Because there's bigger news.
Whoa!
Today they announced they began filming on Dune. I know. You know what that means. The news isn't stopping here.
Every
single episode.
Are they sending you the dailies?
I wish.
Oof.
They ought to. I mean, they should just pass most things by.
Right.
I mean, executive,
I just assumed.
Executive producer should be the title.
That's really exciting. Where is this being filmed? Like in a back lot in Hollywood, or is it on location in New Zealand?
They have three locations, of which I did not write down.
Okay.
But I know they are filming at three different locations.
Okay.
Probably back lot stuff as well.
Yeah.
I assume the long turnaround is for the visual effects,
sure.
Which. I'm glad it's not a short. This is no Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Right.
Like, we need some time to get this in and out and get it done right. So happy about that.
Okay.
Speaking of things that have started filming, something that hasn't started filming is the new Flash movie that's been canceled and then redone and canceled and redone. Ezra Miller, Flash himself, is apparently rewriting the movie with Grant Morrison.
Was there a Flash movie that we missed?
No. This is the one that they've been talking about for ages. The directors keep dropping off.
Yeah.
And then hire somebody, and then you think, oh, it's going to come out, and it drops off.
Where should the Flash be? Should the Flash be – that's DC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why has there been no Flash in, like, Justice League or any of the previous
– Well, he was in Justice League.
Was he?
podcast@penncinema.com the email.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Was he good?
And he's in Batman vs. Superman.
Who played him?
Ezra Miller.
Flash himself.
Okay. Flash himself.
I forgot about that whole element.
Yeah. And he's in Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I'm blanking on that whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe, well, that's how good it was.
Yeah. I mean, that tells you a lot right there.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So
that's unfortunate.
How about that news?
Wow. Yeah.
I like how sometimes the news is news for you, but it's also fun news for me about you.
Well, you know what's funny is like it says, I mean, we're kidding around that it says a lot, but it does say a lot because all the Marvel movies, mm-hmm. when I see them in the theater, sometimes I see them twice, mm-hmm. and then at home, I'm either buying the Blu-ray or I'm watching it at home or whatever, and I just rewatched Infinity War, you know, and there's all this stuff. I don't think I've ever rewatched. Like, the last time I saw Justice League is when it opened, opening weekend.
Yeah.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I like you. And I just think after Batman vs. Superman, I don't think I bought any of them.
Right.
Or rewatched them. So, yeah.
Interesting.
It's a sad day.
Well, speaking of good DC work.
Please.
Dark Knight. I mean, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. I put it on my list of favorite trilogies.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Right up there with the Jay and Silent Bob 1, 2, and 3. So you posed the question, do we care that the Dark Knight trilogy is coming back to theaters? I say, on the one hand, yeah, that's great. I think it's amazing. And Christopher Nolan is doing some Q&A and introducing mm-hmm. the content. He's doing Q&A live in Hollywood. And then if you go to the one in, like, New York City or wherever the other locations are, then they're, like, rebroadcasting the
okay.
Q&A. I think it's super cool. I think it's kind of lame that they're literally only doing it in, like, 4 or 5 places around the country.
Okay, see, I didn't have that info.
Yeah.
I knew that it was coming back. I didn't know it was going to be that restricted.
No, it's, like, crazy. Like, literally, they name in the press release, like, the 4 theaters.
And they're showing all 3 of them like in a row, I'm assuming.
Right. It's like Hollywood, New York City. I want to say it's like Dallas or Chicago, but it's literally it.
Don't you think they could make more – well, I don't know what the logistics are, but they could make more money by releasing like 1 a week, like have a month of of Batman.
There's always two different ways to look at it. You could look at it like that, or you could look at it like if you show them back to back, that's very sort of unique. It's a more of like a special event. You know, it's a thing. My thing is, I don't know why Christopher Nolan is a squirrely dude. I mean, he's always very particular about how his movies get released. So I'm sure that's where this whole story starts and stops. But my question is, okay, so you want to be limited. That's fine. But don't limit it to four theaters. Limit it to like 100 or 70 or, you know what I mean? Like some very limited release without, you know, four theaters is crazy.
Do you think he'll walk out during the Q&A?
Why would he do that?
Remember, there was a big thing. Oh, that's Michael Bay. Sorry. I was thinking of Michael Bay at the TV display and he walked out. I mean, I think it's cool they're doing it. You're right. I mean, I'm kind of irritated it's not wider. But when I said, do we care? I meant, like, if you were going to show it here, as much as I love those movies, would I take time out of my day to go watch them when I could watch them at home?
Right.
Which I don't have plans to do.
Right.
Not because they're not good, just because time has passed and I've seen them a million times.
Right. Yeah. So, that's a fair point, but I think I would.
Yeah.
Especially since they're being re-released in IMAX.
Although I do remember that, you know, that's people ask me sometimes how we met, and we met, if I remember correctly, because of, was it The Dark Knight?
No.
Was it the first one?
No, we met before that.
Did we?
Yeah.
I thought it was when I emailed you because of the getting in the wrong theater.
That could be.
No.
Well, what came out first, the first Transformers or the first Dark Knight? Because we weren't open for the very first Dark Knight.
Yeah, but was it? I can't remember. We'll have to look it up. Because I thought the first time that we like interacted for real was I emailed you because digital theaters just come and like Batman was the thing.
Yeah.
And like I came and I pre-ordered my ticket specifically for the digital theater.
Yeah.
And then I got here and we were just getting corralled into like until the theater was full.
Yeah.
And so I got into a film theater.
Yeah, that's no good.
And then I was like, it's kind of, I mean, the movie was great and it was a great experience, but it wasn't what I wanted.
That might have been the first time, but the story I always tell is Transformers.
Coming in dressed up like.
Coming in your cardboard box.
Cardboard box.
And your mom telling you, that's why you're still single.
Yeah, it's not the only reason, Mom. Look at me now.
So I don't know. We'll have to check that out.
We'll have to check that out. Yeah. So moving on, this is probably pretty high up on your radar. There's a Sesame Street movie starring Anne Hathaway, and it's going to hit the theaters January 15th, 2021, as well as a live-action Tom and Jerry for April 16th, 2021. Are these not top your list 2021 views?
No.
How many other movies can you tell me right now come out in 2021 that you're excited about?
Well, first of all, isn't there an Avatar that year?
Oh, this could be it.
And what did we talk about last week that's coming out in 21 that we were like laughing about?
Oh.
It was something.
I can't even remember.
Yeah, I should start keeping my show notes in like a binder so I can flip back to what we looked at last week.
Who would have thought us two would have problems remembering something? Oh, man. Destin Daniel Cretton has been tapped to direct Shang-Chi with David Callahan, who wrote Wonder Woman 1984 and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. A 2, which hasn't come out yet, of course, is attached to write the script. Shang-Chi, do you have any idea what this is?
No.
Because if someone said, what kind of things is David knowledgeable in?
Right.
And they were like, not talking about Dune.
Okay.
You would probably be like, well, he likes comics, right? Shang-Chi is a comic character from Marvel in the Marvel movie universe that I don't know about.
Wow.
I had to look it up. If I'm correct, he doesn't have any powers. He's basically Bruce Lee.
Oh, wow.
He's just like the number one top martial arts expert guy. I could be wrong about the powers thing, but I'm pretty sure he just is a super martial arts crime fighter dude. Why they chose this character? Who knows? I mean, it's in the Avengers universe, so maybe he'll be an Avenger.
It could have something to do with the continuing expansion of Hollywood into China.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. For sure. But why a movie instead of one of their series that they have like a billion of?
Yeah.
Because Iron Fist did so poorly, probably. Honestly.
Could have something to do with it.
So this is interesting. This is on my radar to watch because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So what else you got on your list, man?
Well, I don't have a trailer yet, but I was pleased to see, and I have to admit, it was the first time I did not know that Tarantino had number 9 in the works.
Mm.
The 9th film by Tarantino is in the works. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think is the call, or Once Upon in Hollywood or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the poster, Brad Pitt, Leonardo, obviously just a teaser poster. There's a bunch of fan trailers online, but no actual content yet. So I don't really know anything about the movie other than the poster came out which in turn put it on my radar. I'm pretty excited for Tarantino movie. I think that's
super cool.
Yeah. When we were talking about losing the wager, I was thinking about Pulp Fiction. I was thinking about you and me as Travolta and Samuel Jackson. So I got that as news. And then another little interesting Fathom event was announced.
Okay.
And I want to see I think if you're not excited about Christopher Nolan's trilogy, then you're really not excited about this.
Uh-oh.
But this group took the strategy of 4 different days, not a marathon. I think they're 4 different weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Batman 1989,
uh-huh.
Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
See, okay, here's Batman and Batman Returns, and especially the first Batman. What is Batman 84?
Or 89.
89. I didn't see them in theaters.
Before. Wasn't that Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Batman 89, but what Batman, what's the, this is, okay, yeah, it doesn't, I thought, for some reason, I thought you said the Charlton Heston one. I really didn't see that in theaters.
Oh, jeez.
But I didn't see the first two in theaters, so I might be down to, like...
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Do that. But, the Nolan trilogy, I saw several times in theaters, and then I've watched several times at home.
I see.
These I haven't watched in eons.
That's a really interesting point. So it's not so much what you think is better or worse or you enjoyed more or less. It's just that, hey, here's a title that I actually have never seen on the big screen.
Right.
That's a really good point.
Right. So another example of this is like the Studio Ghibli stuff.
Mm.
I always get hyped for it, and I haven't been out to see one yet, even though it's – because I love it. And I'm like, when am I going to get to see this on the big screen again? And it's always an inner battle of like, you could watch it at home. And and then it's like, do I want to do this by myself? Does I want to spend my time doing this? So sometimes these Fathom events are a little bit of a struggle for me. I think they're great to do them because I think there is an audience for them, especially the
huge Fathom audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fathom events, I was in Seattle this weekend, which is where I saw 5 Feet Apart. And there was a Fathom event trailer, which for whatever reason in my mind I thought was super local. But it was a Fathom event trailer for Sight and Sound.
Yeah.
For Moses.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Jesus, I think.
This one was Moses.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And just so weird to see Sight and Sound. And for those who aren't in the Lancaster area, Sight and Sound is right here. And
Penn Cinema played a role.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'm not trying... Whatever. It's all them.
So
it was
all you, is what you're saying.
No, but they are very good friends. Sight and Sound is mm-hmm. very good friends with Penn Cinema in the sense that we, when they first started the sort of learning, testing how to sort of best can move their content, there are, for those who don't know, they're a live-action theater,
mm-hmm.
And they have... been the last few years filming their productions so that they can show them around the world. And so they've been specifically Drew Schaefer, who is the director of operations at Penn Cinema, has been very closely working with them, helping them run content and test sound levels and light levels and so that they can really see how the show ends up looking when you're sitting in a movie theater watching it. So that's really neat that you saw that trailer out in Seattle. But yeah, they're definitely looped in on Fathom Events. It's really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Very cool.
So then I got another piece of news, which is not necessarily theatrical, but I don't really know your position on this. Where are you vis-a-vis Game of Thrones?
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I just recently rewatched those.
I was just going to say, do you remember what happened? Because, like, so my news to report was the running times were announced and there's a new trailer out for the final season. Mm-hmm. And, but I feel totally confused. Like, I feel like I really want to go back. I forget how some of the cliffhangers. And I even, like, I want to go all the way back to season one and just start again.
How much time do you have in your life?
Right. That's exactly the problem.
I say that, and I thought it was going to take me forever. I was like, if I start now, I might be done in time. And then, like, it just became everything I was doing in my spare time because I loved it so much. I love Game of Thrones. Yeah. And if you have the time to do it, I would highly recommend rewatching. There were things I was catching on – this was only my second rewatch that I was catching that I didn't know before, or I was like, oh my gosh, can't believe they were foreshadowing this like that early. And some things happened way earlier than my memory served, or way later.
Yeah.
So it was a fun rewatch.
I like that meme that went around of Princess Leia and Luke saying like, oh, you kissed your sister? That's cute. In other news, you know I'm active with the Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah.
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 And I might go out to Iowa. I might not, but I might go out to Iowa and check out. They have a film festival in Dubuque, which is supposed to be really cool. But anyway, the Red Rose Film Festival is happening here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the first weekend in November. And over the summer, we are behind the scenes. We haven't announced anything yet, but we're working on a 5-part series where we want to show some sort of either a documentary or like a based on a true story type of show and have a speaker come in and talk about it. So podcast@penncinema.com. If you have any great ideas for based on a true story or an actual documentary and a speaker that would go with it, I have some of my own ideas, which I think are going to be really fun. So we're going to announce that here in the next, I'd say, 3 weeks or so.
Oh, that's
so that'll
be cool.
Yeah, over the summer, about a five-part series here at Penn Cinema in Lititz, also at Zotropolis in Lancaster, and maybe at the New Main up in Ephrata.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that leaves – that's all the petty news.
Oh. Oh.
Now there's just the one headline.
Oh, just one headline
left. I'm going to let you nail this one.
Yeah. Let me give this in my best opinion. James Gunn is back!
Was he ever gone?
Was he ever gone? James Gunn is back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is great.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Here's the question. Like you said, was he ever gone?
Now, are you a jerk for being glad that he's back?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I mean, I'm not excusing his stuff, but I just feel like this circumstances in this one feel different.
Okay.
Like from what I understand, there wasn't a victim. He just said some things that he apologized for, what, like 10 years ago or something?
Yeah.
Like, so he was already.
It's a little bit of the Kevin Hart situation, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
He had come out and like already addressed it years ago, and it just got drummed back up, and Disney was like, no, we're done. Then Dave Bautista was like throwing a fit, and everyone else was kind of like, well, you know,
he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Dave Bautista?
what?
But it's like, in retrospect, of all the actors willing to be like, I'm going to put things on the line to throw a fit and make publicity, wouldn't it be the wrestler who just would have done that in his career as a wrestler?
Right.
So I don't know. Do you think this was their way of getting past it, or do you think it was legit, like, you're gone, and then they decided to bring him back?
No, I think it was legit you're gone, and I think he really was gone.
Okay.
And then I think that I don't obviously have any insight. You know, I don't know what happened. probably very few people do. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there was some progress process by which everybody sort of looked and addressed the person for who the person is. And, you know, I don't want to brush it off by any stretch and say like, oh, we all make mistakes. In a way, like we do all make mistakes. And if he has grown and learned and, you know, and if, like you said, you know, if there's not, I don't know where you draw the line.
Right.
But clearly I think that probably somebody, what was he recently announced as being involved in before this?
He is directing Suicide Squad 2.
Oh, yes. And we talked about that last week, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like perhaps, maybe, possibly, mm-hmm. the announcement of him directing Suicide Squad 2 without any lethal pushback from the world, from the universe,
brought it back.
Did that smooth the way? Did that lay the groundwork for Disney to look at that from a cold-hearted business point of view and say, well, he's back on this project and the world didn't stop spinning. Maybe we could bring him back for this incredibly important franchise.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you could very well be right there. I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, I did notice that you haven't taken your blinders off to see the evil corporate Disney edgelords that they are. But on the other side, you made a valid point. You seem pretty innocently minded about.
I do.
Yeah.
I should put you on the phone with my wife. She'll tell you something else.
Well, I like what you're saying there. You're probably more along the lines of correct than my.
What's your theory? Your theory is that the whole thing was just hype?
Not hype as much as a cut.
Like a stunt?
Like they were like, hey, We're gonna fish this out. Our plan is to bring you back unless this blows up. But for now, you're gone. And then they were like,
I don't think so.
Because all the other actors were like, yeah, you know, we're sad to see him go and it's bad, but like life goes on. We're gonna make this movie. It wasn't exactly like that. And then Dave Bautista was like, you gotta have him. He's the best person in the world. Like, I won't want to do this if he's not involved.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But in James Gunn news,
yes.
Suicide Squad 2.
Starring Will Smith.
What?
Wait a minute. A good listener would know that last week we discussed
Idris Elba.
Ichabod Elba
is playing Deadshot. But here's the thing. It's officially declared a reboot of Suicide Squad.
So, I mean, I know what a reboot is. I'm not asking what is a reboot, but I'm saying, like, to you and me as a movie fan and for Suicide Squad 2, what does that mean to us?
Well, that's what this news brings up, because if it's a reboot and DC has kind of said we're kind of scrapping the DC universe because it's not working.
Okay.
They kind of came out and said we're going to focus on more individual movies rather than building up to a grand come together, which is probably a good idea.
Probably the right way to go.
Yeah. Where does that leave other things like Flash? Is that gonna which you didn't even realize was involved in Justice League and Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. Where does that lead Shazam? Because we haven't seen it yet. So yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for Shazam.
How tied in? Yeah, I'm really pumped. But how tied in is that? Because I heard there's a Superman cameo.
I think it would be cool. I'm sorry to interrupt your train of thought, but I think it would be cool if DC would go that direction that you just spelled out. And like in Marvel, other characters come into a movie and it's almost like a plot point.
Yeah.
And I sort of remember the old days when it was just you see another character almost like a cameo and it was just sort of funny. It was almost like just an amusing, like, oh my God, did you see, you know, they walked past, you know, Superman's cape or something, you know.
Yeah. Or like the Robin suit in Batman vs. Superman.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably the angle they should go for a little while.
Yeah.
But saying that they're fully unconnected and then relaunching everything, I don't know.
I think as long as they try to have a universe model, for lack of a better word, they're always going to be compared to a not as good Marvel.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's hard because if it starts to work, I don't know. We're going to get into it more next week when I have more news, but Sony seems to be playing around with Spider-Man in ways I do not like.
What?
And I need to get I only saw headlines and a little bit of whisper. I need to look into it more, and next week we'll talk about that in the news.
Wow.
So, well, I think it's time to move past the news.
Okay.
And on to trailers.
Can I just say, this week's crop of trailers is one of my favorite lists of trailers we've had yet.
What an insane week of trailers.
Oh, my God.
It was like...
so great.
I don't even know where... Okay.
Listen up, because some of these titles you've not heard of.
Yeah.
And you're going to be grateful that you learned about them today.
One of them I sent to my buddy, and he was like, what did I just watch?
So let's knock out the obvious one real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but Aladdin, the third Aladdin trailer.
Right.
I think it was a big step forward for Aladdin. I thought I'm much more excited about the movie than the teaser one. You got to see a little bit of more of Will Smith being Will Smith.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Crazy thing about this is I called it trailer three in the notes because I felt like we had a teaser and then kind of a trailer, and then this was trailer three. Will Smith called it trailer one, the first trailer.
Oh, interesting.
And because he did like an announcement thing when it came out.
Interesting.
It was the first trailer for Aladdin.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait, really? How many more of these are going to do? Because it comes out soon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like flash of an eye. So
yeah.
I think that they're going to spend a lot of time with Will Smith from this trailer as human version, like in disguise genie.
Yeah.
I think that's the hint that I got from it.
Yeah.
And seeing this is the first trailer I think we saw, Carpet, which I thought looked pretty good. So anyway.
The other one that we don't need to spend a whole lot of time about because we talked about before is The Long Shot.
Right. Second trailer, do you feel any better about this movie or worse?
Because
before you were kind of like,
I don't feel any better.
You feel worse.
I don't feel worse.
Okay.
I don't feel worse, but I don't feel better. To me, Long Shot is going to be – I don't want to come out – I'm going to sound negative when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to understand is we open – there's 52 weeks in a year. We open at least two movies a week, sometimes three. So we're opening anywhere between 150 and 200 titles.
Mm-hmm.
The average – I don't want to do it right now on the podcast because it would be boring to listen to. But the average person could probably name from 2018 how many titles – this is a rhetorical question. How many titles could you name from 2018?
Right.
The average person could probably name four or five. You and me could probably name somewhere between 10 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you that there are 150 titles at least. And I'll get that exact number next week just for the fun of it. But – somewhere between 150 and 200 titles last year. So when I say that this is going to become a forgettable movie, I don't mean like in a bad way, like it's not going to be worth seeing. I just mean it's going to be one of those movies we see. We're probably going to laugh. We're probably going to think it's funny. If it's a good movie, we're going to tell our friends to go see it. And then in 2020, when we look back at 2019, we're not going to remember this movie.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So when I say it's a forgettable movie, I use that phrase a lot, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean that it's not going to – it's like another cynical way of saying it's like a paycheck movie, you know? And that's how I felt about it the first time I saw the movie, and that's how I feel – or the trailer, and that's how I feel about it now. It's like I don't feel better. I don't feel worse. It just – I bet you it's going to be a funny movie. I'm looking forward to seeing it. To use our language, I'm on board. But no, I don't feel any better about it or worse. How do you feel?
I think I laughed a little bit more, and I was like, I thought it was interesting to see more of the plot. And then the longer it sat with me, I was like, have I now seen this movie? that was enjoyable, but is that all the enjoyable it's going to be?
Right. Okay, so let's move on,
because
there's some doozies. All right, those are the two, like, all right, whatever. We watched them, and all right.
Okay, so I see you put a note on here. It must be the release date is what I'm thinking. The Art of Self-Defense.
Whew.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh.
And he's a scrawny dude.
June 21st.
That's when it comes out. Is this a significant date that I'm spacing on? Is this your birthday or something?
No.
I was like, am I missing something? I'm kind of tired, so I don't know.
I think it's when I'm watching a trailer, and maybe it's just me, but I always like to know in my mind what time of year it's coming out.
Okay.
And what it's opening against, what it's, you know, is it counter-programming, blah, blah, blah. The Art of Self-Defense, if I remember correctly, is coming out of Bleecker Street, mm-hmm. Which is a little bit of an artsy studio.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to get 4,000 screens. It'll probably get 1,500, 1,600 screens.
Yeah.
This movie looks great.
It does. Yeah. It looks so fun. I mean, who knows if it'll be – I mean, Bleecker Street movies can sometimes – like the you think one thing and you see it and it turns out to be like way more dramatic than you thought
right,
it was going to be.
Which I hate. Yeah. I want to know what I'm seeing.
Right.
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 Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm like, could this turn out – because it's kind of a depressing – or a depressed character, which can be heartwarming, it could be funny, or it could be – Well, if it's a dramedy.
If it's a depressed character who finds his inner voice and finds his inner strength and blooms and, you know,
yeah.
and comes out to conquer the world, then brilliant. You know, if it's a depressed character who comes out and the world kicks him in the teeth, you know, and then he goes back and cries on his couch and that's the end of the movie, I'm right. going to be bummed.
I think this the art of making trailers – I think the person who put this trailer together did a fabulous job, especially because I think some of the best humor in this trailer is probably not how the movie is put together.
Mm.
And that's where he's taking a verbal questionnaire. And
right.
when they ask him right. stuff, he's saying something, but then the trailer is showing clips from other parts in the movie
right.
that like express that. And the guy's like, well, there's four options.
He goes, this is multiple choice.
yeah, this is multiple choice. That was just so well done. But I bet when we watch it, it'll just be a conversation. It won't have those.
When I ask you about Avengers, after you've watched Avengers, and you're like 5 minutes into your monologue about what you thought, I'm going to be like, David, it was a multiple choice question.
Yes or no. Are you on board or not?
So, Art of Self-Defense, I'm psyched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely look forward to seeing this.
Yeah, I mean, this is apparently just a teaser, so when a full trailer comes,
boy.
Let's see what's going on. Speaking on the art side of things.
Oh, boy. I'm not ready for this. I can't even talk about it. I know exactly which one you're going to pick.
Relaxer.
What
is this movie? Within like 30 seconds, the guy has thrown up on his chest and then is eating the throw up. Like, what am I watching? What is this movie about? He was dared to sit in this chair or something. And then proceeds to not get out of the chair.
And then at some point, the guy's duct taping 2 2-liter bottles to his own hands or something. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what that's all about.
Well, they're arguing whether it's soda hand or soda hands. He's like right. soda taping. Upon looking at more of the description, supposedly this ties into Y2K. I don't, because they're calling it an apocalypse movie.
But then at the end of the movie, they cart him away on the couch, and there's a drawing of Bart Simpson with a boner on the back of the half wall behind him.
The carpet is such a different color.
This is a weird trailer. When we started this segment on trailers, I said something like, oh, you're going to be really happy that we told you about these great trailers. I'm not sure that this one is – this is not for everyone.
No. If you want to see something – and this is the one where I sent my friend, and he was like – what did I just watch? You want to be confused. I mean, it's a little gross, but it's not horrible. It's not gory or anything.
No, it's not gross. It's just weird. I mean, it is gross.
The throwing up and then eating, you know, throw up is kind of gross.
But it's more weird than gross.
Yeah, it's more just weird and very non.
I'm not sure I'm going to watch this movie. I guess I probably will. Because it's so weird. But
I don't know if we don't talk about it on the show if I watch it. I might. Well, I guess it depends on further investigation.
Right.
You know, if someone's like, this is crazy, you need to
see it. It opens on April 26th.
That soon?
No, I'm just kidding. That's Avengers Day.
It didn't have a date on it.
Yeah.
Right. Or anything.
Right. Because I even Googled it, and I went to a couple of movie websites that I go to that usually have pretty good industry information, and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't even find the movie at first.
Yeah. I mean, I found out about it on ComingSoon.net, and I was like, is this video on demand? Because I don't want to make that mistake.
Whoa.
Which, by the way, last week I went back to double check, and I was like, I'm going to catch Penn in his trap where he put this movie on here, and it's not – it was video – and then, of course, it was me.
You bastard.
Yeah.
So two trailers that just, I laughed out loud. I watched both of them twice.
Please, go on.
Right? Yeah. Can we start with Booksmart?
Oh, I love this trailer. It's so good.
Memorial Day weekend. And I think, I'm going to say something just to set the mood. But I think, I'm guessing that what I'm about to say is probably a total injustice for how good this movie looks. But just to sort of start you in the right direction, this movie, you could say, this movie looks like a Superbad with females.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks better.
It looks better than Superbad, yes.
The female leads, I don't know who they are, but
no.
They're fabulous in the trailer.
Amazing.
They're funny. They seem, I mean, they look age appropriate. Right. Like, it doesn't look like a 40-year-old that they're dumbing down to 16 right. or something.
Lisa Kudrow as the mom.
Yeah, I
love this. The girl goes, "We're gonna go get Korean skin masks."
I don't need to know the terms.
I don't need to know all the words. So funny.
It's so good.
This movie is high on my list.
I love how I did put it was a red band with
yes.
ED,
yes.
And you corrected it to just red band.
Right. No, the one you put was for the next movie.
That oh, we're talking okay.
About. And then on my note, I spelled it B-A-N-N-E-Z because I just got a kick out of that. But this movie, Booksmart.
When's it come out?
It comes out Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And I can't wait. I think this movie, and you said it real quick, but I want to go back to the fact, I love these two actresses. I have
yeah.
no idea who they are. We could look up who they were. But I love a good movie that's fresh, that like you don't have the baggage
yeah.
of a movie star.
Yeah, if the movie pans out as well as it looks, these girls are going to be big.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, I'm going to be crushed.
Because
this movie looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really good. Speaking of laughing my ass off, The Good Boys had a red banded trailer. did you watch the one with the intro to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seth Rogen's like, you can be in the movie and right. you can swear.
You can say this stuff.
But you can't watch the trailer for the movie
that
you can't
you're watch
in.
Yourself say this stuff.
Yeah. I thought that was great. This looked way funnier than I thought it was going to be. Again, the child actors look, they seem great.
Yep.
It's like, again, Superbad, but younger boys.
Yeah, this reminded me of something, and now I'm forgetting what it was, but it reminds me of like almost, it has the sense of like, you don't want to say like E.T.,
yeah.
you know, but like kids, you know, Super 8,
yeah.
something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's the one scene in the trailer where the older guy's like, piss off, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
You know, like these three like really lovable, you know, nerds, for the middle schoolers, I think, trying to figure out, and are we sixth graders or are we sixth graders? You know?
Yeah. I love they steal a girl's purse and she's like, there's Molly in there. We don't know who Molly is. And yeah. We don't know where she is. And the next, you got to bring drugs to a playground.
No, this trailer, this movie, Good Boys, comes out in August. And it's another example. I mean, Seth Rogen, in the introduction to the trailer, he's the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in, I don't think he was, I don't think, unless he has a cameo or something
right.
or a small part. But it's another example, just like Booksmart, where the three boys, as far as I know, are newcomers. Do you know any of them?
I have never seen them before.
Yeah. So you got these
yeah.
three boys who are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
They also remind me a little bit of the friends from It, the horror movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yes. you sort of have that great sort of innocent, but it's rated R. This is going to be a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's time
Uh-oh.
That we get
okay.
to the heaviest hitter of the week.
Ready.
Avengers Endgame Trailer 2. Okay, remember how I said the other movie, the guy should have got, like, did really good on the trailer?
Yeah.
This movie is, like, trailer perfection to me.
Right.
For the only, I mean, this trailer is trailer perfection. It's made so well to get you not only hyped, you see a lot of things. It's not just words on the screen, but you don't see a lot of new footage, which is crazy to get you pumped for a new movie basically by showing old footage. And I think at one point it's even like a line from Captain America, Winter Soldier or something like that.
Right.
Insane. But then the new footage that's there, Holy crap. Let's talk about this. What do you think?
I agree completely. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to think of a more extreme, a stronger way to say that I'm on board. I'm really on board.
Yeah. Put a board on top of the board and we'll get on top of that.
No, I loved this trailer. And I love, I mean, I've always been all about Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Tony Stark is my man. I love the character. I love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. And I feel like he starts out the trailer, and I think his setup is just absolutely perfect. Yeah. I did enjoy the other trailer that came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Oh.
Yeah, they named it Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's weird. I think I saw that trailer.
Yeah. Did you have to buy a ticket to see it?
It was playing at the end of some other trailers.
I went to the theater to see the Avengers trailer and stayed for Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel, as we know, is having an incredible sophomore frame, and it's partly, I think, because people are so excited for Avengers. Uh-huh. Like, this is setting the table perfectly. So I don't want to get too far away from the trailer, but I'll just say I thought the trailer was A+, and I love how Captain Marvel, you know, sort of is – I don't even know if it's obviously not directly linked into it, but it sort of sets a table perfectly by having such a great Nick Fury backstory, you know, and sort of putting that all together. I think it's great. The whole thing – in my mind, is really coming together perfectly for Avengers to open.
Interesting tidbit. They filmed the Brie Larson scenes for Avengers Endgame before they filmed Captain Marvel.
Oh, wow.
So all the stuff in there, like in our heads, is like post-Captain Marvel character. But this was her first time being this character was in Avengers Endgame.
Oh, that'd be really interesting to see if we can spy any sort of, if she came to the character differently.
Yeah.
Even slightly, you know.
Right. Right.
That's It'll be a challenge. Interesting.
But looks great. We could break that down forever, but just go watch it. It's totally worth your time. Along talking about Captain Marvel continuing to do well this last week, I think a lot of that might have to do with the fact that I keep getting asked by people constantly, do I need to see Captain Marvel before Endgame? And to me, it's a resounding yes. I don't think that we'll be able to, like, I don't think that you could watch Endgame and not be confused because I think she's going to play too big of a role in it. Yeah. What do you think?
No, I agree. I would just, I mean, I think I always ask the question, when I get that kind of question, I respond by saying, do you mean literally? Or do you mean like I think you will enjoy Avengers more if you've seen Captain Marvel. I doubt you'll have to see Captain Marvel to follow Avengers, but you will appreciate the story much better. And then I would take it a step further and say, it goes without saying, for all those Marvel movies. Right. I mean, if you never saw any of the Iron Man movies, you're not going to appreciate some of the subtleties in the new Avengers.
Right.
And if you didn't see Infinity War, you're screwed.
Right. You're really screwed.
But if you didn't see Infinity War, you're probably not on your way to see Endgame.
I know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, it's like I wouldn't want to watch a movie and have a character that I didn't understand what they were doing there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's why I say yes. I mean, you can go either way, but I really say, like, you're not going to know what's going – you're not going to know who somebody is in the movie.
Well, I heard a funny – I was working in Ephrata at the new main up there on Ephrata, little twin. And I was standing there as the audience walked out. At the end of the second stinger, and this girl was saying to her dad, she was old enough that she had seen, you know, a bunch of them, and she obviously, I could tell by the way she was talking, that she was fully up to speed with Marvel Universe, all things Marvel. But she says to her dad as she's walking past me, she goes, "Oh, I'm just so confused. That damn Tesseract. I never know where it's at. I can never remember who has it, where it is, what it does." You know?
Yeah,
we know it's not in the cat.
No.
Or the Flurkin.
So, somebody did a breakdown of time-wise. So I guess this takes place pre-First Avengers because they have it. And they're experimenting with it. S.H.I.E.L.D. has it.
Right.
So I guess this is where S.H.I.E.L.D. gets it back.
So I stand in the back of the theater waiting to clean up the popcorn and everything. So I've seen that Flurkin puke up the Tesseract like literally probably 16 times now.
I heard someone say they were like, like, well, what does it mean for the series? And somebody's like, nothing. What it means is that about 100 animators had to watch a cat throw up over and over and over again to get it right. So, okay, what other – how else did the weekend perform for you?
Pretty straightforward. It was interesting because I didn't – I mean, obviously Captain Marvel hung on as the number one movie, which no surprise whatsoever, and it was number one by a long shot.
Yeah.
What was interesting to me, I think last week we talked about 5 Feet Apart being – I was predicting it was going to be a big movie this weekend, mm-hmm. which it was. The one that surprised me a little bit this weekend was Wonder Park.
Okay.
Little animated. I mean, you've heard of it, but have you heard anything about it?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I see the ads for it everywhere,
though. Right. Well, apparently the ads worked because the movie was sort of uneventful from our point of view. You know, Wonder Park played at all 3 Penn Cinemas. So Huntington Valley, Wilmington, and Lititz all had Wonder Park. And it did pretty good, you know, or pretty well. Sold a lot of tickets. People enjoyed it. People had fun. But what was interesting was that the headline that you might have seen Monday morning says Wonder Park overperformed. So they must have had really low expectations.
Really?
You know, I think they were predicting, you know, $8 or $9 million and it came out at like 16 or something like
that.
Which is not a big movie, but I guess when you're expecting 8 and you get 16, that's pretty freaking
substantial.
Pretty freaking good. So that was the only sort of news from the weekend.
Huh. Yeah. Well, now it's time for the review section, or as we like to call it, Penn hurts David's feelings.
Last week we agreed that we would watch 5 Feet Apart.
Right. And I was on vacation most of the last
week. Whoa, so there's no way you could have seen it.
And I was like, you know what's important to me? This podcast I do with my good friend Penn, and I don't want to let him down, so I'm going to spend some of my time on the other side of the country.
Wow. Do they even have movies on the West Coast?
I had to order it in by helicopter.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to the theater and watch this movie.
Good for you.
And I did it. And then I come back, and what do I discover?
Somebody.
The pendulum swung the other way.
Whoa!
And someone didn't see it.
Mm.
Now, I could get petty about it.
Yes.
And I will. But I'm going to let it slide because you wanted to watch this movie because you wanted to watch it with your wonderful daughter, and it just didn't happen yet.
So Kayla and I both got really excited to see this movie, and I thought we were going to watch it over the weekend. And
she was like, Dad, I'm a teenager. I don't have time for you until I have time for you.
Pretty much. But the truth is, Kayla and I have Tuesday night, tomorrow night, or tonight, depending when you're listening to this, a date to go see this movie together. Mm-hmm. And I thought about watching it this morning by myself because of my commitment to this podcast. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. David's been in Seattle all weekend. There's no way he's watching this movie because he just got back. He's got to go to work. Like, there's no way he's not going to have time. So, screw it. I'm not going to watch it. I'll watch it with Kayla. And so, you know, definitely between David and Kayla, I chose Kayla.
Horrible.
A horrible, tough, choice. Tough gut-wrenching choice.
I don't know if you heard, but I complained about being too hot earlier today.
But I will say, I want to hear your review, but what we're essentially offering our listeners at no extra charge.
Whoa.
It's the same standard price. We're going to deliver this week 2 reviews.
Whoa.
Not 1, not 3,
2. Okay. I'll start off.
Okay.
I saw 5 Feet Apart. I definitely cried more than I thought I was going to a degree where I was like, people gotta notice how teared up I am when the lights come up. I don't know anybody in this city, but it could come back to haunt me. I didn't feel like I should have cried that much because I have not problems with this movie, but like my critique was on strong because I love The Fault in Our Stars so much.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to watch this movie and not compare it to The Fault in Our Stars. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. I think it's good. I think it's a solid teen love drama. I think it's so unbelievably realistic that I wanted to yell at the screen, and I'm curious to see how you as a parent will want to yell at the screen, because all I kept thinking was, where are their parents? Like, constantly. I was like, these kids are in, like, hospitalized all the time. And I get, you know, fat.
Right.
Like, I guess if your child's always in the hospital, you have to work or, you know, whatever to pay for it. But at the same degree, I was like, where are they? You'd think that they'd be there way more than they are. And the kids are given so much freedom in this hospital, an unrealistic amount of freedom.
Mm.
All I kept thinking of, like, if they did this, how much money would that cost them when eventually the hospital's like, oh, you raided the kitchen and ate our lobster? Why do they have lobster? And you were cooking in the kitchen and we were just going to charge you for all this food that you ate. You know, and of course, it's like five times what you'd normally pay. I don't know. My mind was going. That said, the story is good. It's very sad. It's gut-wrenching. The payoff is not as substantial or long-lasting with you as The Fault in Our Stars, but I think probably surprisingly one of the most realistic parts about the movie is the payoff. How it goes about, also really crazy unrealistic, and I'm like, what doctor or parent would go wrong with this? I can't spoil it for you. I mean, if it was just our audience, I'd spoil it for them forever, but I know...
I'm going to see it with Kayla.
You're going to see it with Kayla.
And, with the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be bored, but that's my review of 5 Feet Apart. Is I'm on board. I would recommend it if that is your type of thing. If it's not, don't bother. But if that's your type of thing, definitely.
I mean, I know you watched it because you do this podcast, and that was the movie we picked to watch.
Right.
But with that being said, the movie is 100% geared towards teenage females.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All this said, this is a movie I would have watched on a board, like 10 p.m. on a Saturday when I'm at home, not quite tired enough to go to bed.
Right.
Want to watch something different, and I would have watched it then.
Right.
And I wouldn't have had any, I probably wouldn't have seen it otherwise.
This is the kind of movie, I haven't seen it yet, but I hear what you're saying. It's the kind of movie where, somebody asked me if they should see Bohemian Rhapsody or Creed.
Yeah.
They said, I only have time this weekend to see one movie before, you know, they're both gone from the theaters. And I said, go see Bohemian Rhapsody, because Creed, which I loved,
yeah,
you don't lose a ton by seeing it at home. It's like you can see it at home. Bohemian Rhapsody really needed to be seen in a theater. Same thing with Captain Marvel versus 5 Feet Apart. Like 5 Feet Apart at home on cable at 10 o'clock on Saturday night is probably just as good as 5 Feet Apart in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would say it's on par with that. It was funny to watch this movie after the movie, two movies ago we watched, Isn't It Romantic? Which made fun of a lot of the tropes of romantic comedies. And then to then see them played out in this and be like, here it is.
Here it is.
You know? I did like the movie though, so I'm on board.
Okay.
I do want two notes about seeing this. I saw it in Seattle. And is it me or is there not something kind of like, maybe it's because we don't ever experience it here, but like seeing a movie in a Cineplex that's multi-leveled, isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, going up three stories to see this movie. I don't know why I got such a kick out of it, but I was like, this is a neat experience.
Yeah. Wait till I tell you about my plans for a roofplex.
All the space is up. I don't know. I don't know why, man. You need to go up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just a little comment about that. That's all I had. So, what did you see?
Okay. So, for your second bonus, your free extra bonus review,
mm-hmm.
I saw Captive State.
Okay.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Before I tell you about that, I want to tell you a funny story, because he always laughs at me for not remembering things. I was doing what I often do, which is... scrolling through my list of movies, what's playing at Penn Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scrolling through my movies, trying to see I already saw this one, I already saw that one, this one I'm not interested in, whatever.
Yeah.
And I get to this movie called Greta. And I think to myself, it's pretty short, maybe I should watch Greta. And then I'm like, well, what's Greta about?
So,
so I pull it up online, and as soon as I start reading the summary, I'm like, oh my God. I just saw this movie 2 weeks ago.
You totally forgot what it was. You saw it, and then you talked about it for 15 minutes on a podcast.
Right, and then 2 weeks later, couldn't remember that I had seen it.
Oh, my word.
And what's even worse, even when I looked at the poster, even seeing the poster didn't trigger and remind me.
I'll give you benefit of the doubt there, because sometimes when I walk past and see that poster, I'm like, what's this? And then I see the title and I'm like,
oh, right.
Oh, it's Greta. Like, that's a weird poster for this movie.
Yeah. Okay. So Captive State, starring John Goodman and a couple other lesser known actors who all did a fine job. This is a pretty serious science fiction movie. Do you know the premise? Aliens have taken over the world and everybody's being held in a captive state. And the aliens are referred to as legislators. And the premise is, you know, typical sort of uprising type of thing. But there are some great twists and turns to this.
Okay.
And I'm not saying, like, I loved it or whatever, but I really enjoyed it. I watched the whole thing really, you know, on the edge of my seat, anxious to see where it went. And when I was walking out as the credits were playing, I thought to myself, I hope it makes enough money to get a sequel.
Really?
Yes, I would absolutely go see Captive State too.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's the I think I can tell you the turning point without giving away the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I can't. But John Goodman, the main character, says, "I can't believe we failed," and then John Goodman says, "Maybe the plan all along was to fail." What? And then the light bulbs all go off in your head, and it's one of those movies where all of a sudden, in the last 5 minutes, they start connecting all the dots for you.
Yeah.
You see how all these characters throughout the movie, who appear to be completely unrelated, fascinating characters, well-developed, whatever, and then, like, literally in the last 5 minutes, I've told you before how much I enjoy a good ending to a movie. You know, like, happy, sad, whatever, slow, drawn out, whatever, but as long as the ending is solid, and this had a great ending, because once they sort of revealed, once the light bulb went off and you started realizing all the relationships, they hit the pedal to the metal and they accelerated the plot and everything sort of tied together.
Okay.
And then it just was brilliant. I thought it was really, really well done. So the analogy would be the first Star Wars, 1977, Episode 4, when Luke shoots into the Death Star. When the Death Star would explode, imagine the screen goes to black and the credits roll. Like, the thing blows, and that's the end of the movie.
That's the end. Yeah. So that's how this ends.
That's how the movie ends. And then you're like, ooh. Oh, man, the people who did not explode, well, I can't wait to see them.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm down. I'm on board with this movie. I thought it was a little bit of a throwaway movie. It didn't do much business.
Right.
Did a little bit. But I would go see a sequel. I'm not sure we're going to get one, but if there was one, I would go see it. It was directed by the guy who directed Planet of the Apes. I forget his name now, but
which Planet of the Apes? The first one?
No, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
The new one.
Ryan? Is it Ryan Johnson? Rian Johnson? Did the Star Wars? The guy did Star Wars?
No.
Oh.
We'll have to get back to
podcast
that
at PennCinema.com. Cool. I want to see this movie. I keep forgetting about it. It seems, again, I kind of thought maybe it's just a throwaway. Like,
Captive State?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would later, definitely recommend it.
Okay. Cool. Well, it's on my radar for even more. We have some listener feedback this week. John Gurr hit us up just in time before recording, and he wrote and he said, "I've read that Paramount is reaching out to listeners to see if they can project, or reaching out to theaters to see if they can project Ang Lee's new Will Smith movie, Gemini Man, at 120 frames per second. From what I understand, it's intended to be one of, if not the first, true 3D 4K theater experiences. Is this something that you can speak to on an upcoming podcast?" And he just wanted to know what we thought about this. 4K, 3D experience. Have you heard about this movie being pushed, Gemini Man?
I've not heard about this particular movie.
Mm-hmm.
The topic reminds me of
high definite or
HDR,
high frame rate.
Yeah, or HRD, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. Which you saw,
mm-hmm.
The Hobbit.
Yes,
I replied to you and John and referred to Harry Potter, but it was The Hobbit that you saw.
Okay,
and it was in high frame rate, and you hated it, right?
I did.
Yeah,
I really did not like it. It was. It made me feel sick to the stomach.
Yeah. This is not that, but
okay.
But the topic is sort of similar.
Yeah.
And my thought for John and people who are interested in 4K, it's interesting because Drew reminded me that, in fact, we do already have some 4K projectors in throughout the Penn Cinema family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't advertise that we're showing 4K projection because first of all, we don't want – like when you came to see a digital movie and ended up in a 35mm theater
mm-hmm.
– we don't want to create that situation. But the real issue with 4K is it's coming. And the next time that we all have money to upgrade, we just spent all our money on recliners.
Mm-hmm.
So first we spent all our money on digital conversion. Then we went to 3D. And then we fooled around a high frame rate briefly. And then we went to recliners. And the next time that it's time to upgrade our projectors, we will convert everything to 4K. The issue right now is the content is lagging.
Right.
You know, there's not enough movies coming out that are shot in 4K or, you know, demanding that they – just like this, you know. So this is neat because it will push the format forward. You know, and the more studios come out and push the theaters to show it in 4K and the more directors like Ang Lee that sort of – I don't want to say demand because that sounds like he's a jerk, but you know that he you know raises the expectation that you know the projection level be the very best that it possibly can be. What was his movie a few years ago with the incredible 3D? It wasn't The Life of Pi.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That mm-hmm. was a beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who has a lot of credibility with filmmakers, with studios, and with theater owners. And so I think it's great that he's challenging theater owners to go after this. And to the degree that we will be able to introduce 4K projection into the equation, we certainly will. But it's in 2006 when we built Penn Cinema, and I asked people, you know, what's the deal with digital film? The reason why we opened with 35mm is because again, this is 2006. Not all features were available in digital, mm-hmm. you know, and you had guys like Steven Spielberg refusing to show a digital movie. It's got to be on film, you know, and that kind of thing. So that's my.
It's a risk though, because like the high frame rate, you don't still have that projector, or do you?
We do.
Do you ever use it?
No.
Like for that?
No, because we've never gotten a movie.
It just didn't take off.
Right.
Like they hailed it as the new big thing,
right.
But it just.
I think 4K is much more safer because it is a natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
High frame rate was a little bit of a leap.
Yeah, they're already filming in 4K, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of like the projecting technology catching up.
Right. I think everybody's filming in 4K, even like the smaller independent, you know, and I don't want to say everybody, but you know, legit even small independent filmmakers are using 4K.
Right. It's just the way the cameras are now.
Right.
So okay, so when he sent this in, I was confusing 4K with 4DX theaters because the theater that I saw 5 feet apart had one of these. And I was like, what is that? So I looked it up. You're obviously probably familiar with this. What kind of, for those who don't know, 4DX is like the seats move. I didn't realize it was all of this. The seats move with the movie. So they bounce around like you're on a roller coaster. They have fans that blow wind in your face. They have strobe light effects for lightning and flashes and explosions. They'll throw mist in your face. If there's water like splashing at you, it'll splash you with water. If it's raining in the movie, it throws water up in the air so raindrops fall down on you. For whatever reason, one of the effects is bubbles from the ceiling. I don't know why, but... And then they have fog machines, and then wind from the ceiling. Do people want this? Because if I understand correctly, it's like twice as expensive to see a movie in this theater.
What you just described
sounds like hell.
First of all, sounds awful. And second of all, I experienced it a number of years ago when I took my kids to Disney World and we watched A Bug's Life in some auditorium that was equipped with exactly what you just described.
Okay.
You know, and when the bug runs across the screen, something runs across the bottom of your feet.
Oh, there's a tickler. They call it the tickler, and it hits your feet.
So how crazy – there's a few I think you're a little off track, just a tiny bit.
Oh, okay.
Because there is what you just described, which, as you can imagine, is almost impossible to get content for, because how specific does that content have to be?
Oh, there's more. I was looking it up, like researching it on the Regal. Yeah. I guess they have a lot of them. And there was like a video on like what's included. And that's how I learned about this stuff.
But then there's also, I think it's called D-Box, which is a little bit more simple.
Okay.
It's just the concept is that the seat moves with the action.
Okay.
So this is a little bit more of a common thing. It doesn't have the mist and the wind and the lightning and all that kind of stuff. But and maybe some places do have that.
Well, the D-Box has its own, like you have like almost your own speaker system too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a whole big thing. So in other words, when I get a hard drive with a movie on it, and nowadays it comes via satellite. So if I get a file and I'm scrolling through a certain title, we get like so many different file versions of, like, so it's Captain Marvel, closed caption, Captain Marvel, open caption, Captain Marvel 5.1, 7.1, D-Box, 3D, 2D. There's all these different files, Dolby Atmos sound, you know, all these different scenarios that the studios have to sort of master for those auditoriums. I don't know. I mean, we made the decision that we didn't go after D-Box because we felt as though it was not something that was universally desired. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I believe you can turn your seat off. Like, if you pay the extra money for the D-Box and then you're not enjoying
why
it.
Why would you?
I don't know. Maybe you got seasick. My thing is, I don't know. Nobody would ever call me a purist because I'm not. But in a way, I don't. If I want to go on a ride, I'm going to go to Hershey Park. Mm-hmm. You know?
I feel like with the right movie, it could be really cool. But I was like, this would be really distracting, especially if the chairs make noise, like the hydraulics.
Oh, yeah.
Because, so we haven't really gone into this, and people can look up or contact me, podcast@penncinema.com. I have synesthesia, and it affects, I have a part of it that's called chromesthesia, which is auditory to visual. So sounds make me see colors. And for me, a big thing about seeing a movie in the theater and why I want to see a movie in the theater is because for me, the audio is just as much as the visual, like it's painting a picture for me of colors that interact with the colors that are on screen. And we'll talk, sure we'll talk about it later. So one of the things I have a hard time with at home or elsewhere is people who talk to me during the movie or when a phone light comes on and adds another element to what I feel has been handcrafted from my experience. So if you've ever been to the movie with me and you've talked to me and I haven't said anything, that means you're pretty high up on my list of people that I like to be with. So you have that shows how important you are. I mean, sometimes it is fun to talk in a movie, but if it's a movie I'm really zoned in on, like it's really important to me to have the auditory. And so sometimes – And I know logically in the back of my head it's not anyone's fault or anything, but sometimes you hear the chairs go, and I'm like, in my mind it's this little like brown wave sign that I see like scribbled on top of the film, and it's like, what is that? Like, why is that? What's that? And it always takes me a second to be like, oh, that's the chair. Like, it's nobody's doing this on purpose. It's not like it's just what it is. It's just life, just part of being here, and it's fine. But like, I can't imagine being in this thing and having, you know, who knows how loud it is.
But. Well, here's my thing on D-Box. I know you like to make fun of me because I was anti-recliners.
And IMAX, reserve seating.
And reserve seating and every other cool innovation we've
ever done.
Why
would I want to do that? Yeah. 3 years later. Right. So I'm introducing this new thing in the theater.
So, which is really ironic because we've always been kind of ahead of the curve on most things, and then not so much on the recliners, but we got there. But anyway, here's the thing with D-Box. It's a number of years old. I mean, it's been I don't want to exaggerate, but it might be 3 years, it might be 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's definitely been out a few years. And if everybody loved it so much, we would have already had customers
asking,
telling me, you know, hey, how come we don't have D-Box? How come you don't have those chairs that move? How come, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, the very first time AMC used their Chinese money to buy recliners for all their theaters, word spread quickly and got back to us that, hey, my uncle goes to a theater in Florida and they got these recliners.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, it was like, oh, my cousin's in New Jersey and they got these things that are like recliners. You know, and it sort of comes back to you and you can see the interest in the customers growing. And now, of course, you're not going to go anywhere and find not recliners.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, thank you, John, for mentioning, raising up this interesting topic.
I hear there's a little feedback from a Drew Schaefer. Just a real quick tidbit here.
Well, I thought Drew had a brilliant idea that he thinks that we should add sound effects to the podcast. So, like, for example, when somebody says, I'm on board, like, cues some, like, cool. And you probably could, like, dial up some cool sound effects. But I'm picturing, like, old school radio days where we have, like, props on the table. You know, somebody's like, oh, here comes David.
I am more for that because it means less work in post for me. Right.
There, we could get like one of those old foghorns from the old. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, all right, we need a soundboard.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring some of that stuff in.
Okay, I'm crazy excited for that. So, all right, well, we're running a little over, but I think that's okay. We should talk about what we've seen, watched. It was a big week for me. I'm not going to get into everything. I watched a movie called The Sasquatch Gang. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Neither have I, but apparently I don't know if it was made by or whatever. It's basically Napoleon Dynamite again. And so it's one of those movies that's not great. I did laugh on it, but it has just like lines that if you get somebody to watch it, you can start quoting in your everyday life and you'll
nice.
Laugh. I saw Hotel – so I was on the planes, so I saw a lot of movies. So Hotel Artemis, which I thought that was – is it Jodie Foster? In that, the lead actress, I thought she did a really good job playing the head, and Dave Bautista's in it. Interesting concept, maybe not the greatest execution, but if you're at home, want an action movie, it was pretty good. Pacific Rim Uprising. I didn't like Pacific Rim that much. Pacific Rim Uprising pleasantly surprised me because I thought it was just going to be them fighting monsters the whole time, and it turned out to be a much more like, not political, but like, you know, between different groups of humans.
And, it had a little bit of a social message.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of a... I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected.
You know what our friend Mark Ponce calls it?
What's that?
The first Pacific Rim, he calls the Upside Down Avengers. If you think about the plots, they're not totally... The threats from above in Pacific Rim, threats from below.
Right.
But there's some very similar plot points, and Pacific Rim is one of his all-time favorite movies. Fun fact.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Pacific Rim 2 I liked a lot more than 1. And I know a lot of people like 1. I just, for whatever reason, it wasn't for me. I saw The Mummy, the Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Not nearly as bad as I thought everyone had been saying. It's not a great movie, but I also was expecting it to be total crap, and it was just kind of, eh. I saw Pete Holmes' Dirty Clean. Hilarious if you like stand-up comedy. If you don't know Pete Holmes, check it out. Big one. This is the biggest one for me of things I watched outside of movies. I finally saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And by God, it was amazing. I was like, we had our Oscar talk and I didn't know what I was talking about. This movie, his acting, I understand why he won. I mean, I still haven't seen all of them, but he's so good. The music was great. Performances were great. Some of the complaints I read about online I didn't think held much weight.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen it, I regret not having seen it in the theater. You were 100% right. Should have been a theater thing.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of being late to the game.
Yeah.
I caught up and finally saw the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie, RBG.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a documentary, and there's not really any gimmicks or anything like that, but it's just brilliantly done and so inspiring. And I don't care what your politics are, it's a fascinating movie about an incredibly important person in American history. Yeah. And I was just gripping.
Yeah.
An incredible movie. And then at the other end of the spectrum, triple threat. No. I'm sorry. Not triple threat. Triple frontier is the one I saw. Triple threat comes out, I think,
like,
next week.
How did you see this movie?
Yeah. No, triple frontier.
Okay. What's this movie?
This is a throwaway Netflix action movie that I watched at home, which was like in the category of good enough.
Okay.
So in other words, it was good enough. I watched it to the end because I was curious to see how, like, what was going to happen. But it was not, like, if I could do a do-over, I would have watched something else.
Okay. Wow. So Triple Frontier, not Triple Threat. I was a bit jealous for a little while. I was like, how did you see this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, so we both took in some new interesting things. Next week.
This is Us.
I mean, Us.
Wait, what?
By Jordan Peele. I keep calling it This Is Us in real life. And people are like, wasn't that a TV show? I'm like, oh, wait.
This movie is so hard to deal with because I'm writing all my guys, my studio reps, and talking about this and that. And I always have to put it in quotes because it's like hard to work it into a sentence.
Yeah.
But this movie, I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. And I'm also dreading it.
Me too.
Because I think it's going to be so damn scary.
I tried to get to someone to come with me, and they're like, I'm busy this weekend. She was like, guess you'll just have to keep your eyes closed, watch through your fingers. And I was like, shh.
I'm going to make every effort to watch this movie in public with a crowded theater.
Okay.
I think that's the way to do it.
I think I'm going to have easier time with this than I did It, since I think it's more like suspense horror than
I have a harder time with suspense horror.
Really?
Yeah.
See, it's the monsters and stuff that I imagine are really out there that bother me more.
Because they're under your bed and stuff.
Yeah, they're under my bed. They're in the closet. It's a lot easier for me to be like, that lump over there is not a person.
Right.
So, you know. So, all right. So next week, Us, we want to know what you thought about this movie. We want to know what you thought about either of our reviews, Captive State or 5 Feet Apart, or anything that you thought this week. Go ahead and email it to us, podcast@penncinema.com. We will reply and probably make fun of each other. It seems to be the best part about replying to us. So please do that. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting the show, everyone who's left a review on iTunes. It's nice to see there. Please tell a friend and come back next week. So once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's okay.